Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 57, chapter 11, Symptoms of Conditioned and Liberated Souls. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the bound jiva is bound up by joy and sorrow arising from his actions for attaining sleep, sitting or eating out of attachment. But the liberated person is not bound while doing these activities, even though he may experience a little joy or sorrow, as in bhaditanudvritti. This is because he is detached. Though he engages his senses and sense objects, he remains as the witness and does not personally involve himself, because he's witnessing what's going on. He's not involved. It's because of attachment you get involved. You know, it's just like you can sit there. Let us say you're walking down the road and you see one of the laborers doing something, let's say some brickwork and that. You can stand there and watch them for a long time. And they do a good job, bad job, or whatever they do, technique. It's interesting, you know, and you might find, oh, that's interesting, or that's this or that, but you don't care. Right? Now let's say he's working in your house, right, and you're watching and he's doing something wrong. Then because of attachment, you get involved. So that's the whole point. Since it's not about yourself, they never get involved. They do things in connection with Krishna.
So for Krishna, we can get involved.
No. We're seeing to the service and all. It means in the context of here being involved, just because it's for Krishna doesn't mean we can be attached to the results and how well we're performing and how expert we are and all those kind of things. Right? Yes. It's still, one avoids that. Yes. One's still the witness. One's still taking part as an instrument.
Yes.
Yes. You understand? Mm-hmm. So, attachment means to Krishna. But we can't say because it's for Krishna, now we can be materially attached. We engage our material attachments, but we know that we're attached. So therefore we're connecting it to Krishna as the first stage, because we're not attached to Krishna, we're attached to the other things. But we appreciate through the intelligence and by good association that we should do things in connection to and in consideration of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? But you have to be careful that doesn't give us a license to allow that false ego and that sense of I'm the doer and all those things to come up. Because if we do, yes, it is devotional service, but the devotional service doesn't require that. Right? Does that make sense? If the technique requires it, okay. But then it's only as far as that. Outside of that, you won't see it. And it's just like, for an example, you come up out of the subway onto the street, you know, in a big urban city. When you come up and hit the street, even though you have no idea where you are, you have to look like you own the city and you know where you are and you're just where you're supposed to be. But it's not false ego. That's just, if you don't do that, then so many people will come and take advantage. Right? But otherwise, in personal dealings, you won't see that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the next verse answers Uddhava's next question, how does the liberated person roam about? Sri Krishna continued, right? So the previous one was, how does the liberated soul enjoy? How does he sleep and eat? Okay, so that's off. Then Krishna answers what we just did. he's observing because it's happening through the body he's residing in and the senses, but he's an observer. He's not attached to the particular outcome. But he's attached to service to Krishna. So that's why then he sees that things are going on nicely in service. But he himself is not attached to a particular outcome.
Maharaj, it seems that even though that situation like for us, it's like we're still success orientated.
Yes, yes. So we engage that.
Yeah.
But here it's talking about how does one function basically on the Paramahamsa platform. So that's basic kind of the discussion of the 11th canto. What kind of activities, what kind of practice you can do to bring yourself to the transcendental platform. Because it all has to be devotional, has to be Krishna, but you're focusing on, these are the points you focus on. Right? As opposed to, we have a particular material identity and therefore certain knowledge and skill sets, and we're engaging that in Krishna's service. Like this is that we're looking at from the other side. We're engaged in Krishna's service, so therefore then what knowledge and skills do we have? It is starting at the other place. Right? Does that make sense? It's just like, I have this car, okay, and I like to drive, so then why don't we drive it for Krishna? But even if we weren't driving for Krishna, we'd be driving the car. The other one is, okay, we need to get to a particular destination, so the by analyzation, the driving's going to be the best way to go about it. I can drive, I have a car, okay, then let's take our car. You understand? So one, you're starting with the service, and then the secondary aspects are seen in support of that service. The other, what we're beginning at is we're focused on the secondary. We're learning to include the primary in it. That's the difference between as Krishna is explaining karma yoga and all these aspects, and then he explains that sarva dharma paritya means it has to be about Krishna, and then you apply your religious processes that you have a nature in to Krishna, but it starts with Krishna. But we start with ourself and our conditioning and then connect it to Krishna. So it's the difference between renunciation and sannyas. Renunciation means it's mine, I give it to Krishna. So it's service. But it starts, it's mine that I'm giving. So it's renunciation because there's a sense of ownership. Sannyas means it's just Krishna's service. And so then you're seeing everything in connection to Krishna. So it actually has a higher quality. Anything connected to Krishna is good. But then this aspect where one's not attached to it, one is performing the activities to please Krishna. That's a higher level. Does that make sense? Okay, so now how does the liberated person roam about? Sri Krishna continued. A person is considered to be completely liberated from the gross and subtle material bodies when all the functions of his vital energy, senses, mind, and intelligence are performed without material desire. Right? So all these things, his energy, senses, mind, intelligence are engaged, but with no material desire. Such a person, although situated within the body, is not entangled. Right? Because whatever they're doing is in connection with Krishna's service. Footnote 15. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. He's just desiring to take part in activities that are being carried out by the modes of nature.
We're reading the wrong footnote.
Sorry?
We're reading the wrong footnote. 15.
It doesn't match?
It doesn't.
It matches somehow.
Because it has in here roaming about. Moving about. And that's what we're discussing is moving about. Right? So that's the thing. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and he is aloof from them. Bhagavad Gita 5:8-9. So that's what he's involved. he himself is not personally involved. Doesn't mean he's not performing the activity, but he has nothing to gain from it. It's only being done as service for Krishna. Right? So this is then the technical points you're looking at. We'll say, yes, do it for Krishna, but it means all of this. Right? So before that, we just see that devotees are engaged in services that we would consider direct activities, or then the supportive activities like activities of Varnashram. So then we're okay, we're seeing that connected. But now this is getting even finer, you know, eating, moving about, sleeping, breathing, you know, touching, smelling, all these different things, that he sees that in connection with Krishna. So we're getting to a finer level. So that's what 11th canto is defined, given. Right? Yes.
So it's not necessarily he's like always conscious about it. It's just his lifestyle, and it just happens.
Because he's always thinking of Krishna, then it'll always happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the child is moving through the house, and they're, let's say, a knight riding on a unicorn with their, you know, sword, and they're going to slay the dragon. Right? What do you see? Just the kid running through the house. Right? But in his, that's where he is. And to do that, then, you know, the body has to move. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in the same way is that they're absorbed in service to Krishna and doing service for Krishna, and doing that, then the body moves. Speaking goes on. You know, senses are engaged. So he's focused on Krishna. That's the advantage of the devotional system, because if you're not following the devotional, just the Vedic, you would have to do all this just on its own. You know, very hard, very dry, very boring. You know, how they say, and it makes, how you say, what is it? How does that go? Yeah, that's it. Can't remember. Something about all work, no play makes Jack a
dull boy.
Dull boy, yes. So then you end up with all these sadhus and all that, and they're very dull to be around. Right? You know, they're not very interesting or inspiring, because they're just focused on that. So that's the advantage of Krishna consciousness. The same thing is accomplished with less effort. And more effectiveness. So a much better system. I mean, so if you have to do something really hard work, you can get a little bit of return. But something out with very minimal work, you get a very large return. You'd want to invest in the second one. So that's devotional process. It already includes all the other religious processes. So when that point is made, it actually, that is the fact. Is that, yeah. So that's why then Krishna says it's joyously performed, or joyfully performed, because it doesn't have the dryness of the other. So, but sometimes, because we don't catch this point of the primary, we think that, no, the secondary things he's talking about, he's just talking about the symptoms of someone who is liberated. But we'll take these as the main. And so then it will be, you'll see the person will make advancement and stuff like that, but you'll see that it'll create a dryness. You know, that's the whole point. It'll create a dryness. But when they add Krishna into it, then it'll become very nice. So that's why we have association, so we're always reminded it's about Krishna. Right? Otherwise, then, you know, these austerities, trying to control the mind, you know, trying to control the environment through management, trying to, you know, do anything that you want to do, then you focus on that secondary aspect too much. Even though it's engaged in service, the consciousness being on that secondary, it will still give the problems that secondary things give. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty. So, yeah. Okay, now we'll try footnote 15. One is understood to be in full knowledge, whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burnt up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Bhagavad Gita 4:19. Right, so this is then from that chapter where you... What is it? Third is karma. Fourth is this combination. No, fourth is jnana, right? And then fifth is the combination. Okay, so that's the point is this. He doesn't have any reactions to work because knowledge has burnt them up, right? It's attachment creates it.
Yes.
By knowledge, then you can free yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, freed from qualities of the body like lamentation and illusion, he roams about with the functions of prana, senses, mind, and intelligence, free of desire. Not that they're not engaged, there's just no desire to be fulfilled by them. Right? There's nothing, by him seeing, there's nothing to accomplish. Like, let's say you go to some nice, hotel or resort in some very beautiful environment, right? And so then having gotten such situated and everything like that, then you go out, open the door, go out on the balcony, and then you take in the view. But you have a very specific purpose. You want to enjoy the view. That's why you're paying all that money. But here what they're saying is that they may see these things, but there's nothing for them to gain. It's not that they don't see and can't tell what's there. But there's nothing for them to personally gain from it. So if there's service for Krishna, then they'll connect it to Krishna. Right? If not, it's just something that goes by. You know, you walk down the street, so many people go by, and after hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe you recognize one, then you interact. Does that make sense? You know, you walk down the street, there's so many shops, but then the shop that has some connection to something you're doing, even if you didn't know was there, then you go, oh, what's this? And check, you know, see the shop. So the point is all this is seen, and therefore, then what you, with your values and your position, you're connecting to Krishna, that's then what you'll focus on. You know, it's like the kings in the line of kings in the Bhagavatam. So as a Purana, it must give the list of kings from, you know, basically Swayambhuva Manu up to, you know, in the future when they're 3 foot tall and Krishna's cutting off their heads on a horse. Right? He's on the horse. They're not on the horse. Right? Does that make sense? And so then, that list of kings is given. That's just what makes it a Purana. But you'll see the Bhagavatam go through so many kings, and then one of them, who's a devotee, they'll stop there, and then you'll have an explanation. A different Purana might stop on different kings. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that in the next three verses, answer Uddhava's question, how is the liberated person to be recognized? Okay. Sri Krishna continued. Sometimes, for no apparent reason, one's body is attacked by cruel people or violent animals. At other times and in other places, one will suddenly be offered great respect or worship. One who becomes neither angry when attacked nor satisfied when worshipped is actually intelligent. A saintly sage sees with equal vision and therefore is not affected by that which is materially good or bad. Indeed, although he observes others performing good and bad work and speaking properly and improperly, the sage does not praise or criticize anyone. For the purpose of maintaining his body, a liberated sage should not act, speak, or contemplate in terms of material good or bad. Rather, he should be detached in all material circumstances, and taking pleasure in self-realization, he should wander about engaged in his liberated lifestyle, appearing like a retarded person to outsiders. Because he's not taking advantage of standard mundane aspects. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. Does that make sense? So, these are the symptoms. Right? That's what you're looking for, is the attitude, how they respond to the environment. They're not judging things on material terms of good and bad. Not that they can't tell the difference. It's just that because they're engaged in service, it's not. It's just the modes of nature. Does that make sense? Otherwise, they can point out what should be done and not done. But they'll be pointing it out, not on the material platform, but what in contact with the spiritual. But the material considerations aren't important. Right? Shastra explains them. So they're known, but it's not important.
So,
yeah.
So Maharaj, here actually devotional service is not mentioned by writing. Is it inherent to the...
Yes. Because you're having Krishna talking with Uddhava.
Yes.
So you have the Supreme Lord talking with the, you know, the most prominent servitor in Dwarka.
Yes.
You know, so naturally, yes, you know, they're not talking about the weather or, yes, you know, who won the footy match last night. Or
that means to get to a person for having that symptoms, you need to be a devotee of Krishna.
Yes. Yes. You sometimes see sages might have this.
Yes.
But their ability to stay situated on that, yes, platform. So that's why, even though you see people can be on this platform,
yes,
but then when they come in contact with adverse situations, sometimes they don't function. Like, yes, we see Durvasa or Vishwamitra.
Yes. Yes.
Then they're not able to function on that platform.
Yes.
But we see Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur, they're able to function in this platform. So it's technically, like you're saying, only pure devotees can actually be consistent in that.
And
others can get up to that platform.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you call the sages or the munis,
yes,
like this.
Yes.
But to actually be permanently situated there is only devotees.
Yes.
So they appear like a retarded person to others because it doesn't make sense. Yes. But we see a yayati being able to understand the symptoms.
Yes.
Because someone who is retarded, then they're going to behave in a different way. They will have attachment. They will have all these things.
Yes.
People bump into, they will get angry. They will get all these. But here is they don't. They don't get upset. They don't this. So people just think that they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell by the symptoms they're not crazy. They're advanced. So only someone trained in this, like Yadu Maharaj, could see this. Or Prahlad Maharaj with the Python Saga,
yes,
then he could see this. I think that's coming up, isn't it? Or we already had that. No, we did that, right? That was ninth canto. Yeah, that was ninth canto. So, yeah, so like that. But others then see, and so they invite him to speak.
Yes.
Right? But the villagers don't see. They just think the guy's crazy. You know?
Yeah.
You know. How you say? You know, good looking. You know, the girls are looking, but crazy. The boys, that's how they're dealing. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, the liberated person whose body is attacked by the wicked, by shoes or fists, or without reason is worshipped with garland and sandalwood, is not disturbed. He does not become angry at the violent person or happy with the gentleman. Yajnavalkya has said, the wise man, on being beaten with thorns or anointed with sandalwood, remains indifferent, not experiencing either anger or joy. Yajnavalkya Smriti 3:54. Right? So then that's the, what do you call it? Huh?
Oh.
Yeah. It's just, it's giving further detail. Manu applies, and then further details to understand its application, and that's Yajnavalkya. So then we see is that, you know, 2,000 years later, they're still appreciating someone who, being beaten with thorns, is still neither angry or joyful. So it is a common principle. So it's not just a Vedic. It means it's a Vedic principle, but you see as everybody appreciates.
Sometimes we have too high an expectation of others to behave on this platform.
Yes, yes. Means we expect them to behave on that platform so that we don't have to and they'll be cool. Right? But it's got to be that we behave on this platform and then whether others do or not, it doesn't matter.
But unless we reach the liberated platform, we cannot imitate, right? So
no, we can't imitate, but that doesn't mean that it's okay. It just means that we're not on this platform. So we may become angry, we may become disturbed, but that's because we're not this advanced. You can't say that, but it's okay. We're just being natural.
So then how can we progress then? What should be done?
By following our process. Chanting, associating with devotees, hearing, chanting about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord, in the association of pure Vaishnavas.
Mm. Mm. It seems like, you know, again, from a limited perception, we have this thought that, you know, like to come from a liberated platform to the conditioned platform is like instantaneous, but to get back to the liberated platform is going to take quite a considerable amount of time.
It's just because of attachment. But it's not that it can also be done in the same amount of time, because it's just a switch in the consciousness. Just that if one's attached to the consciousness of seeing things not connected to Krishna, then it makes it harder to switch to being conscious of Krishna. But that's all it is. It's just because of attachment. Right, we identify, we think that, you know, that, you know, everything's okay. You know, it's just like Indra, you know, he's now a pig. You know, Narad Muni comes along and says, okay, now we should go back to the heavenly planets. And says, what's the big deal? I'm okay here. I got my pen, I got my food, my family, it's all good. You know, so that's the thing, we don't see the need. It's like,
in order to break the attachment, you said knowledge is...
Knowledge is, that's why it says the sword of knowledge.
Do we have something else? Do we have...
Do you want the taser of knowledge or something? Or the double-barreled, sawed-off, you know, how you say, pistol-grip shotgun of knowledge? Or?
No, it means knowledge is essential.
Yes. But you get that in the association of devotees. So the most important is the association of devotees. Then in that association, you'll get the knowledge, you'll get the practices.
Yes.
Like that. So by associating, that's the most important.
Can you say that mercy also can break the attachment?
Yes, but then the point is then we'll start to act in that way.
Yes, yes.
But that generally, that mercy means that it follows that surrender.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? So it's, again, in the association. So in association, we're surrendered to the association of devotees, then the Lord's mercy follows.
Yes.
Right? Because the devotees are kind, so the Lord's kind.
And at the time, the consciousness change.
Yes. Because it's just a matter of changing the consciousness. Because it's not. It's just that we're very attached to our attachments.
Yes.
Like that. So then when we become less attached to our attachments, then the attachments can go away. Because the things themselves are generic. We've become attached. Does that make sense? So it's that principle of attachment that is the problem. Here, it's because we've applied it to the mundane. Now, when we take that attachment and apply it to Krishna, then now it becomes progressive. So that's why we always try to put ourselves as much in contact with Krishna and the devotees and anything connected to Krishna. Because that situation, that purification, then we're getting an experience, we can get attached to that. Get attached to serving Krishna. Get attached to the devotees. That's positive.
Yes,
because whatever you do, then there's always the inclination to do it again.
Yes.
So now if you're doing mundane things, then you want to do the same mundane things again.
Yes.
But if you're doing devotional things, then you have the intensity to do those devotional things again. So that's the whole thing. That's the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's just spiritual seeds, then it's not a problem. But, you know, when it's material seeds, then it's a problem, right? Whole room's full of material seeds, right? You know, then you have a tendency to trip, you know, slide. Yeah.
Sometimes we don't understand that now we are on the liberated platform. We may think that we are still conditioned.
Yes, but we're conditioned to being conditioned. So we have to give up that. We're used to that. We're comfortable with that. Because the soul technically is never conditioned. He just thinks he is. But the point is because he thinks he is, that's where the concrete element is. You know, so we act in that way. Just like someone has affection for Krishna, that's the concrete element. So then they function in that way. Yes, so just compare that to not acting on that platform and then, you know, appreciate the difference. Right? And then but the same thing is it's about functioning in that platform. That one has observed it, that's good. That's a start. But one should try to function on that platform. Because when you're observing it, you're not functioning in it. You know, it's just like, let's say you have something to eat. Let's say you have a rasgulla. If you're observing the rasgulla, are you eating it? No. So that's the whole point, is that we observe it, so that's good. It comes up. But then the point is here, that's why I ask Rome's about. That means he's functioning on this. Because as you move about, then the senses, the mind, the intelligence, all these things are engaged in so many aspects. Right? So how do they function in that environment? Because there's the very specific, when they're in their controlled environment, then they, you know, you'll be able to very nicely see. But when they move about, that's when you actually are able to tell this very advanced position. Does that make sense? Like we saw Maharaj Yadu, he saw when that Avadhut Brahman was just wandering around. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, if you go to the ashram and they're there and they're studying scripture or doing worship or, you know, something, you know that they're like that, so you have that natural respect. But anybody can go and basically appreciate that it's a little different, and so they should be respectful. But here is due to training that Yayati Maharaj could see, not Yayati, Yadu Maharaj, could see in the crowd this one person. Right? And you know what crazy people are like. You know, so that, but this was not functioning on that platform. Does that make sense?
So if we are functioning on that level, are we aware that we are on that level?
But why do we need to be aware?
In order to not fall away from it. To kind of recognize it.
No, but what keeps you on that platform? Krishna. Means our absorption in Krishna, that's why one's on that platform. Mm-hmm. So you have to be absorbed in Krishna. That will place you on the platform. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, or take another example. You walk into the deity room. Right? You're going in there to do arti. But when you walk in, you know, the arrangements are so nice and the decorations, you're just looking at that. Are you doing the arti? So in other words, the liberated platform is a situation, it's not a goal. So in that situation, then you apply yourself to serving Krishna. Why are these things recommended? Because then that situation is the best for serving Krishna. Right? If you're in the deity room, it's easier to do artik than if you're standing out on Highway 101. You know what I'm saying? Like that, because you know, somebody might drive too close. The motorcycles, especially, right? They just like to go between the lanes, like that. They'll knock over your table and stuff like that. And, you know, stuff. You know, so yeah. Sri Krishna continued. If through meticulous study one becomes expert in reading Vedic literature, but makes no endeavor to fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one's endeavor is certainly like that of a man who works very hard to take care of a cow that gives no milk. In other words, the fruit of one's laborious study of Vedic knowledge will simply be the labor itself. There will be no other tangible result. Right? So that then answers the question there, is that if all it is that you gain this position, but not connected to the Supreme Lord, is all you gained is the trouble itself to get to that position. Right? So that's the whole point, is that we see again, it's understood that we're talking there, but just to make sure it's that. So we've been seeing this all the way through, but especially from Prahlad Maharaj, he brings emphasis to this point. Right? But it's right there in the first canto, I think right in the second chapter. It's already introducing. That's where the Shramev and Kevalam is. So it's just a waste of time. And then it comes up again and again. So all these religious processes are very nice and very important, but they're only important in connection to Krishna. That's all. Does that make sense? Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. He should perform bhakti, thinking of the Lord with an eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Doing this, the liberated person reaches perfection. Otherwise, he falls. If he is expert in knowledge of the Vedic scriptures and impersonal Brahman, which are praised in the scriptures, but does not become expert in bhakti to the Supreme Lord, Pare, who is superior to the scriptures in Brahman, his efforts are useless, right? Because the scriptures in Brahman are situated on Krishna. Right? They're not separate. The word Nishnata means skillful. Skillfulness in relation to the Lord is thinking of the Lord with bhakti. Without bhakti, the results of his effort in sadhana are useless. Right? So that's actually skillfulness, is being able to think of the Lord, seeing things in relation to the Lord in bhakti. That's skill. These others then are not. They in the material world will call them skill simply because they make money. Right? Think about it. We'll call something a skill because it can be used to make money. Right? If it doesn't make money, we generally don't refer to it as a skill. So we say that we need knowledge and skills. What's that for?
Money.
It's for artha. And then we may, because that will sound bad, it sounds very mercenary. So then we may bring out the moralistic aspect, or we may bring out the judicial aspect. And then suddenly now it's supposed to sound so much better. Right? But in actuality, Nishnata, that skillful, means that you have the skill to see everything connected to Krishna. That's the real skill. That has to be cultivated.
Sounds like Yiddish.
Sounds?
Like Yiddish. Nishnata.
Nishnata. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember one day, I don't know, I guess I had heard it a couple of years ago. It's just, you know how sometimes in the morning a word pops in your head?
Yeah.
Just keeps going through? And this was the word, Nishnata. I didn't know what it meant. But just the whole day, it's just Nishnata. So it's supposed to be seeing things connected to the Lord. That's it. So then, and what does it mean in Yiddish?
I'm not sure, but there's one word which is similar, means snack out, like, you know, little eating something.
Oh, snacking.
Noshing.
Noshing. Oh, okay, noshing. Interesting is in noshing, in at least in Bengali, but I think it's is snacks or nashta.
Breakfast.
Yeah, it's a snack. Unless you're in Punjab. Yeah, that's lunch at breakfast. And lunch you don't even want to talk about. Okay, so we see, so that brings it around, because Krishna's talking. So you become expert in these things, but if it's not connected to the Lord, what's the point? Because Krishna is the most intelligent. So we are so proud of our intelligence or our skill or, you know, our knowledge or whatever it is, then it's going to be a problem. But connected to Krishna, then that's properly. And connected to Krishna means it has these symptoms. So you can say, I'm doing this for Krishna, but if we see we become attached, we become angry, we become disturbed, then yes, it's for Krishna. You're doing it as service, but it's not as advanced as if you weren't disturbed. So we can't claim that being disturbed is perfectly all right. It's not. But it happens because of our conditioning. It happens. Right? But we can't make a position and say, no, this is all right. I have the right. No, you don't.
So when an advanced devotee appears to be disturbed at someone else's lack of expertise in their service, that's for training purposes, they're not actually...
It just depends. It means from our perspective, we'll look at it that because the service of Krishna... And the service is not being done very nicely because of ignorance or lack of Krishna consciousness. That's why the quality of the service is a problem. Well, if we're Krishna conscious, then there's a good chance they wouldn't be upset. So that's how we'll look at it. How they look at it, that's another thing. That's their business. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. My dear Uddhava, that man is certainly most miserable who takes care of a cow that gives no milk, an unchaste wife, a body totally dependent on others, useless children or wealth not utilized for the right purpose. Similarly, one who studies Vedic knowledge devoid of my glories is also most miserable. He's in the same category. Mm-hmm. So the other ones we can relate to, because we'll always think, oh, but he studies, he's so special. But no, he's in the same category. Right? Yes. My dear Uddhava, an intelligent person should never take to literatures that do not contain descriptions of my activities, which purify the whole universe. An intelligent person. Yeah, yeah. Indeed, I create, maintain, and annihilate the entire material manifestation. Among all my pastime incarnations, the most beloved are Krishna and Balaram. Any so-called knowledge that does not recognize these activities of mine is simply barren and is not acceptable to those who are actually intelligent. Right, so unless you can bring it, it means best is it's directly about Krishna, or you bring it to Krishna. But if it doesn't do either of those, then it is considered not actually intelligent. You may be engaging the intelligence, but that doesn't mean it's actually intelligent. You know, it's just like if you're in the car and don't know where you're going and you're driving around in circles. You know, you're not getting anywhere. Right, it's not actually driving, but you can say, "No, but I'm in the car. We're going. You know, we're doing all the driving stuff, like that." That's the idea. In this regard, Sri Narad Muni instructed Srila Vyasadeva: those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Means, yeah, how you say? If you've ever had the opportunity to walk through Calcutta, then you can appreciate what's meant here by a place of pilgrimage for crows.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Otherwise, other places you may not know what this means.
Yes.
Yeah. On the other hand, yes, no, there are many, but it's, how you say, how you say, it's like 108, you know, how you say, pilgrimage sites, you know, like that, you know, you have to, how you say. Yeah, adiviadations. Yeah, I guess you could say. Like that.
So what to do, Maharaj, when there is too many cows?
Too many crows.
Yes, what to do?
You just keep walking because you derive no pleasure there at that pilgrimage site. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Right, so you see Narad Muni is pointing out the essence, because that's then what Vyasadeva will meditate on, realizing that then he compiles Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
So we see that theme throughout. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5, 10, and 11. Right, so they bring about a revolution in the impious lives. They bring one to the transcendental platform. Because otherwise, then, misdirected civilization, because it's about passion and ignorance. And even if they're situated in goodness, it's still misdirected because it's not about guiding to pure goodness or serving the Lord. So if it's not about Krishna, it's misdirected. Srila Prabhupada comments. There are different kinds of literature for different types of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literatures which attract men of the crows categories are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. Refused or refused? Probably refused. Yeah.
Refused.
Yeah. So it means garbage remnants. So it's not even just garbage, it's remnants of garbage, right? They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphorical arrangements. Yet, with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Right? So they're set up very nice grammatically and all these different things, poetically. They have a particular grammar that they use, a particular vernacular, you know, all these things that they have, and that makes their particular magazine or paper or whatever it is. And it's very nicely done, and the people who are working in it all have very nice degrees, they're very, you know, skilled in all this, but yet they do not glorify the Lord, right? Yet with all that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered decoration of a dead body. Right? But you see that before, it says such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed,
yes,
are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Because it may be purified, but if they're not thoroughly honest, they also may be attached to some mundane aspect, you know, of knowledge.
All right. So honest means... intent is to go to Krishna consciousness.
Yes, the intent is about Krishna. They see things connected to Krishna. Because on it means see is this bring up an interesting or a different angle. You see people talking about truth, but the thing is, but what about the mentality? Is it honest? Yeah, that's the thing. Is the person who's demanding truth, are they honest?
Yes.
So that's the thing. Is that here is they're thoroughly honest means they actually have the character,
yes,
to appreciate these things. They're purified and have the character. So some may be jnanis who are purified, but they don't have the character. They also won't appreciate the transcendental literature. That's why it's both purified men who are thoroughly honest. So it's about Krishna, because he is truth. So actually, truth means Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're thoroughly honest, then you can appreciate that truth.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But facts, mundane facts, then those are, you know, here, mundane similes, metaphorical arrangements, so many things that sounds, you know, I say, Lady Liberty, you know, it sounds good, you know, you say... You know, you say all these things, all these poetries and metaphors, then it sounds very inspiring. But the point is they're not connected to the Lord. So that's where the weakness will be. So even though it may be, how you say, yeah, so there's different grades of crows also. Right? You know, it's like that. You know, so that's the whole point. It's like that if you've been on pilgrimage in Kalkana to the various Adivyadeshams, then you've seen that generally have a wall. Right? I mean that means you have, you know, the various levels of holy places. So your highest levels of holy places, there'll always be a wall. Then in front of the wall, that's where all the garbage is. Because if there's no wall, you can't get up and observe it. If it's just thrown on the street and some things, it may be, you know, have its, a divya...
unholiness.
Yeah, yes, it's unholy aspects. But it doesn't take on the full nature of a tirtha. Because then all the crows will sit on the wall. Right? And then when the garbage then is dropped in front, the young crows will all immediately jump down with great enthusiasm and start picking through all the garbage. Now, the older crows that are still sitting on the wall, they know most garbage is garbage. Like that. And so, but then when the young crows then find, you know, a bunch of useful garbage, then the old elder crows will come down. Only then. So you do have the more sophisticated crows. You know, sometimes you may have seen pictures or posters of that crow. You know, he's got his shoes with spats, he's got his top hat, he's got his cane under his wing. Those guys. And I think he has a monocle. You ever seen that crow?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that just means a more sophisticated.
So if there are so many literatures and, you know, fancy sweet words with, you know, nice quotes that sound very flowery, but if a devotee takes that, although it wasn't originally meant for Krishna, and then applies that in Krishna's service.
Yes, then they engage it. But that's the point, is that it's connected to Krishna. They're seeing it connected to Krishna. That's what makes it a value. Right? Like that. But that is all based on literatures that are directly talking about Krishna. It means for you to be able to do that is because you have, come in contact and heard from those literatures that are full of transcendental descriptions. Then only you can look at this and then see it that way. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So it's not going to have, it's not that it's inherent in that literature. Means everything's Krishna, of course, but unless one has that viewpoint that's being discussed here, you can't see it like that. You know, due to attachments, there'll be various transformations, and you'll see it. Some parts you may be able to see it in one way, but other parts you may not. But it's not that it can't be seen in that way. It's just that the common person who's attracted to it, they're not seeing it that way, so it doesn't give that effect. But someone else may see it that way, and it'll give a transcendental effect. Is that the same thing? Yeah. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. Right? You know, just like how you say. What's the saying about money generates money or something? What's the... Money comes from money. Money from, no?
Make your money work for
you. Yeah, okay. So it's like that. That's the principle of it. But there's something about money comes from money or something like this.
Money attracts money.
Money attracts money. So dead attracts dead. Here, like that. Yeah. So therefore, keep that in mind. If you're driving around with a zombie in your trunk, it might attract other zombies. So, yes, not recommended. Right? These literatures and the modes of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being. And thus, the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are so-called manasa because they always keep up the standard of transcendentally voluntary service to the Lord.
Also called.
Such spiritually advanced men are called also. Okay, okay.
That doesn't sound good.
Okay. Because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense satisfaction or a subtle speculation of the material egotistic mind. Right, because we see as the speculation then brings out that aspect of ego. Right? Even though maybe something's accomplished or not, there's the sense. The other bodily sense gratification having accomplished, then one can be proud. The other is that just the analyzation itself, one becomes proud. Like that, yeah. So yeah, so they're thoughtful because they don't get involved in these things. That's what I was seeing said before. This advanced person is thoughtful. They don't get distracted by these things. Sri Krishna continued. Coming to this conclusion of all knowledge, one should give up the false conception of material variety that one imposes upon the soul and thus cease one's material existence. Right? Because material existence, it's a perception. You give up that mentality, then there is no material existence. You still exist, your body's still there, but it's not material existence. Right? Does that make sense? The soul is situated on the transcendental platform. One's maybe engaging that transcendental position in the inferior energy, but it's still Krishna's energy being used for Krishna. So, the mind should be fixed on me, since I am all-pervading. My dear Uddhava, right, because all-pervading means you can always, everything's connected to Krishna. My dear Uddhava, if you are not able to free your mind from all material disturbance and thus absorb it completely on the spiritual platform, then perform all your activities as an offering to me without trying to enjoy the fruits, nishkam karma. Right, so then you perform your activities, you may be absorbed in them and distracted by them, but the fruit's not for yourself.
Yes.
Right, so that's the next. So best is you're always just absorbed in the Lord, and that way you perform activities. If not, perform your natural activities without attachment. Right? So that's the next. So because that will also situate you on the liberated platform. You perform an activity without desire for results, it frees you from karma. Right? And so then one becomes liberated. If you have attachment to the results, that's what binds.
Yes.
Right? So.
Same thing in the Gita.
Yes, yes. So. In this regard, Sri Krishna instructs Arjuna, just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regular principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Bhagavad Gita 12:8-9. So there's a formula. So these two are the recommended. Then below this you can use, you know, perform your activity and then give the result to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
That's your result, your activity, you're attached to it, you get the result, you're attached to the results, then you give it to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's below that. But then that the problem is it will have all the different miseries and that to go along with attachment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as recommended. But because it's connected to Krishna, it will be effective. It'll be slower than if you're performing it in nishkama. But in other words, be an uttama. If you can, at least be a madhyama. Right? Does that make sense? That's the directive.
This is a sannyas formula. This is a formula for sannyas.
Yes. That's what we're saying, the madhyama. Yes, yeah.
In this conservative lifestyle, then, I mean, even if one is working and earning money, then it's kind of automatically always used. The result is always.
Yes, it ends up with Krishna. That's the perfection of it. So even the third platform then works that way. Right? The third level works that way. That, but no, performing all your activities, going out, doing your work, making your money and all that, you'll tend to, because of the pancharatra, because of following the regular principles of bhakti, you'll tend to use it that way. Right? But it's indirect, so you have to bring it to being engaged in direct. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's one way of the bhoga activity. When it becomes, you said, it's indirect.
Yeah, because it's you're doing your work, getting your money, and then you're giving it to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's indirect, because it's going to work doesn't necessarily have to do with Krishna, but let's say sitting down and chanting your japa, sitting in front of the deities, that generally we would take it as directly connected to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not that you can't, not that there aren't people that don't do that, because then they're considered advanced, and then, you know, the boys or girls will be impressed. You know what I'm saying? But the principle is that's why the second platform is then the natural form of the lifestyle of the devotees. So if someone's on the Hamsa platform, or Paramahamsa platform, they can function beyond that, it's not a problem. But then, how will others be able to become inspired? So then, functioning on the Madhya platform, they'll follow all those things. Then they'll do, but their consciousness is not Madhyama, it's Uttama. But for the neophyte also, they follow the same program. Even though the consciousness may be neophyte, but at least the external form is that of a Madhyama. But the idea you're trying to get from Sakam to Nishkam. Right, so that's what he's saying here. It's the Nishkam karma. Like in Gita, Krishna will say that, but in Uddhava Gita, the term Nishkam karma is directly used. Like that. It means in the commentary of the Acharyas, they'll use the term, but we see it comes here in the 11th canto. Srila Prabhupada comments on Bhagavad Gita 12:9. In this verse, two different processes of bhakti yoga are indicated. The first applies to one who has actually developed an attachment for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by transcendental love. And the other is for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme Person by transcendental love. For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna. Right, so what is the rules and regulations? They're there to, so that you do activities that would be done by those who are on this first platform. Those who are actually developed an attachment with Krishna, the activities they would do, that's what's given in sadhana bhakti. Right, because we take it advanced as something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just like if we're advanced, then we don't worry about, let's say, cooking or eating or stuff. Does Mother Jashoda not worry about cooking? No, she's cooking. Right? Every day, on time. Right? So that's the thing, is these activities that you do for Krishna. She, you know, wakes Krishna up, she dresses him, you know, bathes him, dresses him, feeds him. You know, he sees he gets rest and all that, makes, you know, lunch for him, you know, feeds him in the evening, you know, like this, all these different kind of entertainments and putting him to bed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the pancharatrik system is. Mm-hmm. The activities that they do in the spiritual world, but in a form that we'll appreciate. Mm-hmm. Right? Because as long as we think we're God, then we have to deal with God in awe and reverence. In that mood of servitorship. Does that make sense? So, but when one actually has affection for Krishna, then you can function within that capacity. But, as sadhakas, you know, or I mean, in the form of the sadhaka, then the activity will look the same. It won't change, it won't be different. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is that why Sahaja is so dangerous? Because
yes,
we think that we are on a higher platform.
Yes, yes,
are.
Yes. Because they'll try to make that affection for Krishna is an external kind of thing. They only deal in the external, and so they try to make some of the external to be so-called spiritual and some of it not. But we can tell the difference. So it's the attitude we're looking for, that's the spiritual. Then naturally the activities you do will be spiritual.
Yes.
Right? But if we can't identify that mm-hmm. transcendental platform, that, you know, or Krishna, then we perform the activities recommended by those who are transcendental. So, yeah. Sri Krishna continued, "My dear Uddhava, narrations of my pastimes and qualities are all auspicious and purify the entire universe. A faithful person who constantly hears, glorifies, and remembers such transcendental activities, who, through dramatic performance, relives my pastimes, beginning with my appearance, and who takes full shelter of me, dedicating his religious, sensual, and occupational activities for my satisfaction, certainly obtains unflinching devotional service to me, the eternal personality of Godhead." So we see here, dedicates religious, sensual, and occupational activities for my satisfaction. So it's not that you're doing them, it's automatic. It's that you're dedicating them for Krishna. Now whether you dedicate them after, or whether you dedicate them while you're doing them. But the point is that dedication is there. We can't take it just automatically. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
Doesn't make sense. Just because you're a devotee and you work and you make money doesn't mean that the work and the money are spiritual. When you take that money and use it in Krishna's service, now it becomes spiritual. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's what I mean by indirect. So Krishna's saying, but because they always do that, it's a constant. So in that way, then being in that fire of devotional service, you don't have to consider primary and secondary. Because they're always absorbed in the primary, the secondary naturally follows. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. One who has obtained pure devotional service by association with my devotees, always engages in worshipping me. Thus he very easily goes to my abode, which is revealed by my pure devotees. So it's through the pure devotees that you actually get. That's how it's done. But through the devotees, that's how we know. Like, we're discussing all these things only because of the pure devotees. Right? That's the whole thing. So they reveal Krishna. They reveal everything. So us trying to appreciate that, that's then how we then are able to progress.
Yes.
Yeah?
So Maharaj, appreciation is the first step.
It's the first step. If that's not there, then that's why being critical of devotees is not good.
Yes.
Right? Because then, you know, it sets a precedent that, you know, fault finding. So even if there's no fault, we may find fault. So the whole point is that it's about Krishna. It's not about right and wrong on the material platform. So that's the thing. As long as we have that material attachment, we will tend to see right and wrong in that context.
Because we are used to
it. Yes, we're used to it. Yeah. It's just happening. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me." Bhagavad Gita 10:10. So those who are then Krishna gives that understanding. So that's the whole point. You're trying to do it to please Krishna, then he'll reveal how to actually be steady and progress on that path. It's not by knowledge. You engage the knowledge, but it's not the knowledge of the self that will reveal like that. Because it's beyond, Krishna's beyond knowledge. He's the source of knowledge. Verses 26 to 49. The qualities and activities of a true devotee. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, what type of person do you consider to be a true devotee? And what type of devotional service is approved by great devotees as worthy of being offered to your lordship? My dear ruler of the universal controllers, O Lord of Vaikuntha and Almighty God of the universe, I am your devotee, and because I love you, I have no other shelter than you. Therefore, please explain this to me. My dear Lord, as the Supreme Absolute Truth, you are transcendental to material nature, and like the sky, you are never entangled in any way. Still, being controlled by your devotee's love, you accept many different forms, incarnating according to your devotee's desire. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted from the Prakash Samhita as follows. The Lord accepts different spiritual bodies according to the desire of his devotees. For example, the Lord agreed to become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Thus, although Lord Krishna has an eternal, blissful spiritual form, he appears to enter within the body of his devotee, who becomes his mother. Although we speak of the Lord's taking on a body, the Lord does not change his form, as do the conditioned souls, who must change their material bodies. He just takes that form, but it's still the same person, same body, like that. The Lord appears in his own eternally unchangeable forms. Lord Hari always appears in the forms that are especially desired by his loving devotees, and never in other forms. Mm-hmm. Right. However, if one thinks that the Lord, in the manner of an ordinary person taking birth, becomes the physical son of Vasudeva or other devotees, then one is victimized by illusion. Right, because then you're thinking he has to take on a form, take on a body. And then from that, then you get all these other things where then people are saying that their children are God and this and that and so many things. And they just go on and on like this. Because they're an illusion, because they don't understand how the Lord's transcendental. He doesn't change bodies. The Lord merely expands his spiritual potency, causing his pure devotees to think, Krishna is now my son. One should understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead never accepts or rejects the material body. Nor does he ever give up his eternal spiritual forms. Rather, the Lord eternally manifests his blissful bodies according to the loving sentiments of his eternal pure devotees. So according to their affection, that's how he appears. Right? So the Brajabasis, he appears like in that form. In Dwarka, it's a different mood, so then he's slightly different form. So, yeah. But it's still him. It's a eternal transcendental form. Because he appears for the pure devotees. So that means where those devotees are, then that's his dham, his pastimes, all that. That's eternal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Can we say also that, for example, when a pure devotee installs a deity, it is also a reciprocation?
Yes, yes. Because otherwise, why does the Lord need to come? He comes to accept the service being rendered. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So that's the whole idea. That's why you also have different levels of deities and all that.
Yes.
So the deity is established by the Acharyas, then that's considered in a different category that we establish.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then for us, that would be the highest, but as far as hierarchy goes of respect in the universe, then if Brahma or the Devata is established or Brahma establishes, then that's considered also. But for the spiritual platform, then the Acharya establishes, then that will be the highest. And then we follow in that kind of line. But otherwise, like Jagannath, he's installed by Lord Brahma. Right? So then that puts him in a different category. So there are deities like that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, but it's all Krishna, it's just a matter of his aspect of reciprocation. You know? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Uddhava, a saintly person is merciful and never injures others. Even if others are aggressive, he is tolerant and forgiving towards all living entities. His strength and meaning in life comes from the truth itself. He is free from all envy and jealousy. Right? because truth itself is Krishna. So all his strength and meaning in life come from Krishna. Right? And his mind is equal in material happiness and distress. Because they just come one after the another. They go together. Thus he dedicates his time to work for the welfare of all others. Right? That welfare is Krishna consciousness. His intelligence is never bewildered by material desires. And he has controlled his senses. Right? Because if the senses are out of control because you want to fulfill material desires. You have no material desires, your senses are controlled. His behavior is always pleasing, never harsh, and always exemplary. And he is free from possessiveness, right? Because you don't consider something to be yours. That's why he's here. He never endeavors in ordinary worldly activities, and he strictly controls his eating. He therefore always remains peaceful and steady. Right, because there's nothing, no material desire to be fulfilled. Right, there's no sense of possessiveness. Right, so because to fulfill a desire, there has to be the possessiveness. Because unless you have possession, how do you fulfill a desire? Right, and then that creates then all the miseries and everything else that goes along with it. So he's peaceful and steady because he's not being influenced by the waves of this, you know, happiness and distress that come from material attachment.
It's like a ramp in a windless place. And
yes.
Just flowing all over the place.
Yes, like that. Exactly. Because as the desires come, then the lamp is flickering. But if there's no wind, it's just perfect. So that's the same thing. It's that whatever the senses see, whatever this and that, there's nothing to gain from it in this way of sense gratification. There's service to Krishna, then that's there, but there's still no sense of possessiveness. There's service for Krishna. And so then you just do that service nicely for Krishna. And because of this, they're peaceful, they're steady, they're never harsh, they're always exemplary, they're always pleasing. Right? Because they see everyone connected to Krishna, so they're always going to deal nicely. A saintly person is thoughtful and accepts me as his only shelter. Right, so that's the point before the what is it? Manasa. Is it?
Yes.
Is it Manasa or Manana?
Manasa.
Means he's thoughtful.
Yes.
That's the whole point. Such a person is very conscious in the execution of his duties and is never subject to superficial transformations because he is steady and noble even in a distressing situation. Right? Because the transformations are superficial. The principle of how the material world works, that's steady because that's based on Krishna, his desire. Means his direction. But so therefore people become affected by the superficial transformations. He has conquered over the six material qualities, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. So these six material qualities, and you have the six enemies. It starts to build up after a while, right? He is free from all desire for prestige and offers honor to others. That's what I said before, is that they may deal nicely or not, and it doesn't bother him because he's not worried about prestige. He is expert in reviving the Krishna consciousness of others and therefore never cheats anyone. Because right? Then what is there, they see the nature, they bring it out. Because all souls are servants of Krishna. So you just have to see at which point there's some glimmer that you can get from there.
Yes.
You know, it's like if you're trying to get at something that's stuck inside somewhere, you see which opening or which angle in that's going to work.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So you start from there.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah, so he doesn't cheat because there's nothing for himself. He's only trying to give him Krishna consciousness. Rather, he is a well-wishing friend to all, being most merciful. Such a saintly person must be considered the most learned of men. Because even if he's materially educated or not, he's the most educated.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows Krishna. He knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possess favorable qualities that purify the performer, and he knows that neglect of such duties constitutes a discrepancy in one's life. So it's not that he gives up these things. A lot of times we think, oh, we're not the body, we're transcendental, so we neglect such duties. But he says this, he understands that they purify, they situate you in a very positive position for serving Krishna. Yes. And in a purified state means goodness, then you can get to good, pure goodness. So for someone who is practicing, then they situate themselves there as the natural position. For someone who's already attained perfection, then it's all also a natural place to situate yourself to just avoid all the difficulties that come up from being situated elsewhere. Right? Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. So only those things that are left that are directly service to Krishna and all that, then they take care of. Other things, other religious aspects aren't so important. But you see is that they will have all the symptoms. They'll appreciate that others are doing because they need to do. That position is there. They don't become upset. They don't become disturbed. People deal nice, not nice. It doesn't bother them. Right? So that's why you have to see all of it together. You can't take one and isolate it and then try to make a whole philosophy. You have to take all of what Krishna is saying. He is thus considered to be the best among all living entities. Right? Because we see that Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Sanatana Goswami about the living entities. There's unlimited living entities. Right? And of those, then they're immovable and immovable. Right? Mm-hmm. So then of movable, then it starts up fish, this and that. Right? And they crawl out on the land and they're like this and scaly. And then they, you know, some of them decide they're going to fly and then like this. And then others decide that this flying's too much, better to walk around on the ground. You know, and do all this kind of jazz. So then you get up to those who are in the human form. And then of those who follow Varnashram, of those who are have knowledge, of those who actually endeavor for and live that knowledge, those who actually realize that knowledge, of those then who are devotees, right? And then a devotee is then one who is then is fully absorbed in the Lord, that's the best. So they are the best among living entities. That's literal. The BBT purport states, verses 29 to 31 describe 28 qualities of a saintly person. Verse 32 explains the highest perfection of life. To be always absorbed in the Lord, right? According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the 17th quality, Matsharana, or taking complete shelter of Lord Krishna, is the most important. And the other 27 qualities automatically appear in one who has become a pure devotee of the Lord. So, endeavoring for pure devotion, then these other qualities come. You're careful to avoid not to, cause discrepancies by not following these things. Right? But you don't have to separately endeavor. They come automatically with pure devotional service. As explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, in Upadeshamrita, a devotee who has not yet developed the good qualities mentioned above, but is nevertheless sincerely endeavoring for Krishna consciousness, should receive the mercy of superior Vaishnavas. Right? So then by that continued, then by associating with those more advanced, then they get that mercy, then they naturally develop also. So that's the whole crux. The whole thing is that association. That's the real point. Other things are there supportive. You know, it means management is there so that many people can take advantage of the association of devotees and the devotional process. That's what management's for. It doesn't have a separate existence. Right? Does that make sense? Like being good is not a separate existence. It's just part of Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? You're just like food is not a separate existence. Right? If I take food and everything's about food, and any time I meet anybody, I'm talking about food. And it doesn't matter what time of the day or night, it's about food. And all my emails about food and everything on the internet's about food. Would you consider that there's a problem here? Right, yes. Now let's say instead of the word food, I put management. then we'll consider it's perfectly fine. In fact, he's more advanced. He's not worried about all these rules and regulations of chanting and japa on a regular time or, you know. Does that make sense?
He's not worried about food.
Yes, like that. He can't be worried about food. He's not hungry. He's too much in anxiety. Does that make sense? So that's why you have to be very, very careful. Is that the actual point is matsharana, taking complete shelter of Krishna. That's what the movement is about. Then, by organization, you can do things on a grand scale. That's the idea of the acharyas. That's the mission. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur then formalized that. Bhakti Vinod Thakur then, you know, brought it into the contemporary, you could say, environment, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and showed how the devotional machinery then can engage so many people. Sri Krishna continued, "My devotees may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist, but if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees." Right? So it's not based on, oh, they have great knowledge. They know Krishna. That's the best knowledge. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse describes the exalted position of the devotees in the state of perfection. The words knowing or not knowing should be repeated with each phrase. I am to be known only by bhakti. This means that according to the degree of bhakti, one will experience various degrees of sweetness at every moment. Although I am actually undivided by time and space, under the control of the devotee, I become divided by time and space. Right? Under control of the devotee, then it appears time, space, all these things are there. So then he's here with Mother Jashoda, and that because of her love for him. And he's here at that time with her. Does that make sense? It's not that one morning he's there and one morning he's not. Right? Yeah, it's not that he goes in to wake him up there and he's not in Nandamaraj's house, he's in his brother's house, you know, Upananda. You know. No, he's always there. So the time and space is according to that devotee. I become divided. Who am I? I am Parabrahman. Shamasundara and the son of Vasudeva. What is my nature? Though I am Atmaraman and Aptakama, I do not enjoy by myself and am not fully satisfied because I am helplessly under the control of my devotee's prema. Like his Atmarama, his Aptakama, but that doesn't give the satisfaction. You know, those who worship me with purity or with great possessiveness, Anandya Bhavena, I consider to be the best devotees. He utters this with great respect. These devotees I call the best. This sentence refers to the persons mentioned in the previous verse. I consider those persons to be my best devotees. Right, so those, he may or may not know exactly who I am.
Yes.
He may or may not know exactly how I exist. He may or may not know exactly all these, but he can, because of words, love, therefore they're always absorbed in Krishna. So, because that doesn't matter, the love is the most important. Right? The knowledge only has its advantage in establishing Krishna's position. Right? And then, after that, it's just his name, form, quality, and pastimes. So it may come within that context, and so therefore it's very nice to hear. But it's not because of having that knowledge, that's why they know Krishna. Because of devotion. Right? Knowledge will come with that devotion. Sri Krishna continued, "My dear Uddhava, one can give up false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional activities. One may purify oneself by seeing, touching, worshipping, serving, and offering prayers of glorification and obeisances to my form as the deity and to my pure devotees." Right? They both work. Not just one and not the other. "One should also glorify my transcendental qualities and activities, hear with love and faith the narrations of my glories, and constantly meditate on me. One should offer to me whatever one acquires, and accepting oneself as my eternal servitor, one should give oneself completely to me. One should always discuss my birth and activities and enjoy life by participating in festivals such as Janmashtami, which glorify my pastimes. In my temple, one should also participate in festivals and ceremonies by singing, dancing, playing musical instruments, and discussing me with other Vaishnavas. One should observe all the regulative celebrated annual festivals by attending ceremonies, pilgrimages, and making offerings. One should also observe religious vows such as Ekadasi and take initiation by the procedures mentioned in the Vedas, Pancharatra, and other similar literatures. Right? We start to see some pattern here. Right? So this is he's just going through the 64 items of devotional service. It's the same thing. So he mentioned about the qualities of the devotee. It's the same. Like that. So all the things, it's all the same. It's just repeating them, you know, in the different ways you present, and then you catch.
Yeah. Like that we cannot avoid to understand.
No, we can't say that. Oh, that's just almighty. Yeah. No, he says like that. To give up false pride and prestige by engaging, okay, you can do that. So therefore, someone who's freed from pride and false prestige then will appreciate those, and someone who may have it may say these things.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.